to kick off the first quarter. Happy Friday.
Happy Friday indeed. It is Four Quarter Friday. Matt Smith here with you. We have got the North Greenville heartthrob, Rob Williams, in as well. Augusta National is in full effect. The Gamecocks Spring Fest is, I don't know, just a little more than 24 hours away. Some of our favorite high school football players are certainly going to be in attendance there. And we've got Forest Acres Classic results to report to you. So a lot happened, even though it was spring break for almost everybody across the state. There was a lot going on in the world of high school sports at our level and people that we love and love to follow and coaches as well. We are presented by the South Carolina Athletic Coaches Association. Rob, I know you're catching your breath. You were trying to take care of your kids and jump on. I'll ask you, I'll open right here. Are you an Augusta guy? Are you a golf guy?
Yeah, absolutely. Good morning, Smitty. It's good to see you, and it's good to be here. Yeah, running around a little bit out. Shout out to the public library system for giving me a mobile upstate studio here for us this morning. Also, really quick, I have been on some coaching staffs where I was called Heartthrob Rob before, and I'm just going to leave it there for you. Okay, as far as Augusta goes, I lived in Edgefield for 3 years, and so I've been to the Masters a handful of times. So absolutely, absolutely a golf guy. You know, Mike Morgan was on with JB yesterday and mentioned, you know, he's going to watch the majors and maybe throw in a couple of other tournaments. And that's kind of where I'm at in terms of golf. But the Masters is its own category, kind of sticks out there. The world shuts down. If you live in the CSRA, which I know that we have several listeners and a fan base of so many schools and communities down there that are with us each and every week, life really shuts down when you're down there. So it's a big deal. It's a big deal. Everything revolves around the Masters in that area of the world. And I'm excited to see how we keep going. I talked to Meredith yesterday, Meredith McKellar, the McKellar Enterprises chat box on ITG, here on the Chief Sports Network, and a former Gamecock golfer. And she said that she had Rory and she had, I think Justin Rose and one other. But anyway, she was in the top 1% leading her fantasy league. I don't know if you do fantasy masters, Smitty, but it's a good time.
I know gambling is frowned upon at Bushwood. I can't do it. I can't. But I had read, and we'll see how it all plays out, and then we'll get into some of our guys with the local ties, some guys that play junior golf here in the state. I'll get to that in a second, but I had seen that, you know, some statistics about, for instance, you know, Fuzzy Zeller's the last first-time winner in 1979. So it takes out some of the great golfers. And it's a combination of, yeah, you need to be ranked highly. It's kind of three things. You need to be one of the most highly ranked golfers in the world in order to be these are the guys that the trends that will win at Augusta. One of the most highly rated golfers in the world. Also, somebody that's playing well, kind of like in the last 10 tournaments, you know, you've got some top threes or T10s. And also experience there. Because as you said, Augusta is its own thing, right? That is because the emotion can get to you. We've got a golfer, Andrew Novak, who played at Academic Magnet High School, started at Wofford. He is an Augusta junkie. And I'll get to that. I'll go ahead and get to that story now. So we've got three in-state players, and I love some of these stories about these guys. But yeah, I mean, you can see them there. I mean, we all know who Dustin Johnson is. I mean, you'd know who Dustin Johnson is if he didn't play in state. He's married to Paulina Gretzky. So, and he still has the record. You talk about a guy who's built for Augusta. He still has the record, 20 under par, 268. That's the lowest all-time four-round score at Augusta. Right there on your screen, played at Dutch Fork High School.
Impressive. Just insane when you recall that score. It's just crazy to me. I can't get over it every time. To be that consistent over the course of 4 days is nuts. Just nuts.
Well, you're a golf guy. I'd love to ask Meredith this, but don't you think if you could build a golfer for Augusta National in a lab, Dustin Johnson would be a bomber, but he can approach as well. And when he gets hot with the putter, it's kind of like you can't catch him. How would you catch Dustin Johnson if he's playing well?
Absolutely.
He's one of those guys.
Oh, she had Scheffler. Sorry. It just came to me and I had to say that. So she had Rory, Scheffler, and I think, like I said, Justin Rose.
Scotty Scheffler, who, yeah, one of the world's. But yeah, Xander Schauffele and John Rahm are players that people had been picking in their fantasy spots as well. Because of, you know, some of those trends. And I actually have those. We can pull those out of the holster in a minute. But I want to talk about guys that played it. Academic Magnet and Chapman.
How about it?
Cannot get over this. So, again, you all know about Dustin Johnson. All the patrons know about Dustin Johnson. He's at one over par heading into today's round. Jacob Bridgman. That's it's a Novak's in the middle there. Jacob Bridgman. He played at Chapman. Started at Clemson. So he wasn't just great at Chapman and junior golf. If you're in the junior golf circles in South Carolina, you've known about Jacob Bridgman for a long time. Won the Carolinas Junior Golf Championship, won three individual state titles with Chapman. Then Bridgman goes on to set a pretty notable Clemson record. 50 rounds in the 60s. 50 times Jacob Bridgman shot in the 60s at Clemson. And that's it, man. That's the record. He was the 2022 ACC Golfer of the Year. No other great Clemson golfer, and you can name, you know, DJ Traham was there. Who else? Who am I missing? That's Lucas Glover.
Yep.
Clemson golfer. These guys, you know, there's dozens of guys that have come out of Clemson and made either the Corn Ferry or the PGA Tour, and it is Jacob Bridgman from Chapman High School that shot the most rounds in the 60s in Clemson history.
And he's hot right now, right? I mean, he just won the Genesis Invitational.
Yeah.
And that was a big story here in the state of South Carolina, and so we'll see if he can ride the heat a little bit as he had a pretty good start.
He's one under par after yesterday.
Yep.
And the projected cut line is +3 or +4. So Jacob, with another good round, will be playing on the weekend.
In great shape.
He's really in good shape for that. And there he is. Look at that. That is Jacob Bridgman eyeing a punt at Woodfin Ridge. Wow. That's why I love this, is somebody that was playing in all of the amateur tournaments, you know, like the Spartanburg County Amateur. He's, you know, he might pop up. You're like, oh, there he was. He was at the Creek last week, you know, and then he goes on and stars at Clemson, does what he does there. And before you know it, so if you finished like eighth, and there he is today, if you finish like eighth in the Spartanburg County AM, you know, 20 shots back of Jacob Bridgman, don't feel bad about it when he was like 16. Don't feel bad, because now look where he is. And Andrew Novak there in the middle, he's from Academic Magnet. He went on, had a big, big career at Wofford. He's a Masters junkie. Every year at this time, Novak sets up multiple screens to take in every angle and all the alternate feeds there at Augusta. You know, they do the four screens. Every year until now.
That's right.
Now he's in it.
No screens for Novak this year.
There he is at Academic Magnet, playing in the North Charleston area. I mean, that might be like the Charleston Country Club right there. Of course, you might play, Rob. I know you're a member all over. I know you've got memberships all over. You can walk in and get comped. But look at that. And there he is now with the beard, grizzled. He's obsessed with Augusta.
Look at that. And of course, what year do we think this was? That's the. Oh, I had the Bieber haircut too, so I can't say anything about it.
That's right. Yeah, we can nail this down, right?
Dates him right. I'm thinking 09-ish.
Right. I think you're right. I think both Bridgman and Andrew Novak were probably playing in high school 8 to 10 years ago, 7, 8, 9, 10 years ago. We could look up their ages, but it's not about ages. It's about, I mean, being first timers. So look, the ultimate dream obviously is to slide on the green jacket if Rory slides it on you on Sunday. But if Andrew Novak or Jacob Bridgman can make the cut, I'll be glued all weekend to what they do. You can pull for these guys, but I can't get over that's Jacob Bridgman at Woodfin Ridge. I mean, Andrew Novak might have been, you know, playing at the Florence Country Club. I know, you know, all these guys played and Justin, certainly they played the Hackler course in Conway, you know, pickup tournaments, you know, maybe up at Furman. I mean, they were playing the same courses you were playing. I mean, you guys, the ones you played, Rob, you guys could go, oh, have you played 17 at Hackler? Yeah. You guys can talk it through. Now they're playing Augusta. Of course, Dustin Johnson, we know that's a different category because he's been a star for a decade plus. But for Andrew Novak and Jacob Bridgman, they're going to be on your television set this weekend. As a matter of fact, let me give you the tee times quickly. This is big for you. I know you'll want to watch this. So Bridgman's at 1 under. He just teed off, okay, 9.02 a.m. He's in a group with Sergio Garcia. Talk about living the dream. Jacob Bridgman from Chapman High School grouped with Sergio Garcia. They went off together at 9.02. So he's out there, and he can, like, wink at Sergio if he outdrives him. Okay. Novak is +3 after the first round, and we mentioned the cut line +3, +4. So Novak has got work to do. He went off this morning just before 8, so we might be able to give you an update on Andrew Novak from Academic Magnet and Dustin Johnson, the star, obviously. Again, the record-setting golfer at Augusta, 2020 champion, 20 under par, 268 in 2020. He's at +1. He will go off just before 1 p.m. Everybody expects Dustin Johnson, with his experience at Augusta, to make the cut. But Bridgman's at 1 under. So that means – what about that round Bridgman had yesterday? First time he's ever been at Augusta National.
That's what really intrigues me, Smitty, is, you know, and you, like you said, we do want to pay attention to these tee times. The Masters is, for me, one of those things where when I wake up on Thursday morning on Masters week, it's going to be on. And yes, we still have to work. And I might not shut things down as much as I do for the round of 64 in March Madness with my 4 screens. But I am going to have the Masters on at all times, starting Thursday morning through Sunday afternoon, so that if anything's going on, I can kind of set things aside and put my attention on the screen. As far as Bridgman is concerned, you open up with an impressive, impressive round under par. So now he's in position. You talk about making the cut. I'm thinking about making a run. You know what I mean? Like, today really determines a lot for Bridgman. But because he came out yesterday and had such a great round, you got to believe confidence is in his corner today as he comes back out and gets ready for round two. And if he can stay consistent, or dare I say, make another move, and you grab a couple of more spots, if you find yourself 3, 4, 5 under after two, you're in decent shape looking into the weekend.
Well, I think it's incredible, and you just said it. I mean, that's a lot of confidence in Bridgman. But as you pointed out, his game's in shape. He came in playing well, and he has all that respect. He took that Genesis Trophy. He was standing with Tiger Woods. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm saying. Like, one day you're playing the Creek, and then you fast forward 8 years.
The Creek, yeah.
And you're with Tiger Woods, standing next to him as a peer. Yep. And Tiger's telling you, man, your game's in great shape. Go get him at Augusta.
And I'll tell you this, too. Inman is proud right now. Inman is very proud of Jacob Bridgman right now. I have some friends in Inman and that don't pay attention to golf at all. And I heard from a couple of different circles on Sunday with the Genesis Invitational. Everybody was glued. I can only imagine we might have some Masters parties in Inman. I might need to take a ride over there and check it out.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. Get up to Grambling. They know how to do it right there.
That's right.
So anyway, that sets you up for Augusta. You know, like I said, we got the Augusta National feels. Augusta's in full effect here in the state of South Carolina. Even though it is just across the state line in Georgia, I know a lot of people that just flat out claim it. They say, nope, that's ours. That's ours. That's a part of who we are in South Carolina. I mean, I grew up in a neighborhood that had a golf course. I think a lot of us, you know, did, or it was right there, like adjacent, because that was as a kid in Surfside. You just had them all. Shout out Deer Track. I don't even know if it's still kicking. But and then RIP to Lanier up there in the upstate. So Augusta will certainly be tracking that. Maybe we'll even check in on Jacob Bridgman, because again, he teed off early. I think I've got that right, that Bridgman, 9.02. Okay, Novak is at +3. He went off before 8. So we can check on that. Also, set up the show. We have got Corey Welch joining us to talk about all that he saw, all that he took in the Forest Acres Classic. Now, T.C. Roberson came from out of state to win the Forest Acres Classic. Dorman got the third place. And by the way, that was over Indian Land. And Hal Bagwell, who just picked up his 600th victory just over a week ago. So it was a great showing for Indian Land. Dorman beat Miller, the Miller School, in the third place game. There you go, 6-4. And, of course, I got to see Dorman. I got to see River Bluff and some of the great players there. Rob, you took in a lot of it. We're going to have Corey Welch from Diamond Prospects. But tell us just your your sense with what you saw there at Forest Acres?
The biggest thing that stuck out to me, Smitty, is the level of competition. 15 games, through 15 games, there were 11 one-run games and I think 5 walk-offs. It was incredibly, incredibly competitive. In fact, one of the games that I attended was Indian Land and Airport, or no, Indian Land and Lexington. And I had to leave a little early, and Indian Land was up 7-1. This is the only game they lost. It was a walk-off 11-10 victory for Lexington later on that afternoon. So just when you think things are under wraps, they turn around and go the other way. I was able to see AC Floyd, everybody in bracket A. I think I saw everybody but TC Roberson, who won the whole thing, and River Bluff. So 6 out of the 8 teams I got to watch, and it was just high-level baseball across the board. I was so impressed game after game after game how competitive and engaging it was.
And, look at that championship game. TC Roberson 6, Indian Land 5, Coach Backwell's club. They don't like to lose. And I think that's what that was about. You said how competitive the games were and the comebacks. And it's, I think, due in large part to the fact that these aren't teams that are used to losing, that they kept rallying and fighting. And, they're gritty clubs. They're teams that are used to competing for state championships. Miller School, that was the school we were telling you about last week that Billy Wagner coaches. That is the Hall of Fame reliever, and they got knocked off by Dorman there in the third place game. I got to see Dorman and River Bluff. That game came down to the end. Dorman walked it off against River Bluff. Dorman had gone up early, I think like 4-0. River Bluff comes back. River Bluff bunted 4 or 5 times. So that's what you're talking about when you said how competitive the games were. Teams were doing whatever it took and executing, running the bases hard, moving runners ahead, and coming up with clutch hits. I mean, it was a fantastic scene. It was a great setting. And a lot of great baseball people were there and a lot of great young baseball players. That's what we're going to dig into when we come back. Still, before this show is over, we will also talk about the Gamecock Spring Fest, because some of the players that that play close to you in high schools, at Northwestern or Christ Church or Dutch Fork, some of those players have either been right there on campus in Columbia this week, or are going to be there for Spring Fest. We've also got some players that are picking up offers from out of state that we can talk about before the show is up, and some players that are what you would call strong Clemson leans picking up offers that would raise your eyebrows. But when we come back, we're talking baseball. We've got Corey Welch joining us from Diamond Prospects. He and Rob saw almost all of the action at the Forest Acres Classic. I saw a little bit as well, and we're going to break it down for you, talk about some of the great players that are going to be playing at the next level that we all got to put our eyes on at AC Flora earlier this week. Finally, those kids get a spring break. They get like a day and a half now of spring break. But that's the way it goes when you play ball in this state. It just it eats up a lot of your time. But, man, what a scene, what a setting there at AC Florida. So we will have Corey Welch, Diamond Prospects, when we return. Matt Smith, Rob Williams with you on Four Quarter Friday.
Check the State Line High School scoreboard every Friday night on the Chief Sports app.
If you have experienced any sort of damage to your home or business, smoke, water, fire, or mold, visit RestaProsMidlandsSC.com, proud supporters of South Carolina High School Athletics.
When playing sports, you want a coach that will fight for you. At Hewitt Diamandouros Law Firm, we've got your back. Whether it's personal injury, insurance disputes, negligence, or wrongful death, our team delivers exceptional legal services that makes meaningful difference in the lives of the individuals and families we work for. Visit hdlawsc.com. hdlawsc.com. Hewitt Diamandouros, we're on your team! Palm Casual Outdoor Patio Furniture proudly supports high school athletics across South Carolina.
If it's time to make your outdoor space the best it can be, with lifetime warranties and guarantees, visit one of our Palm Casual stores in Myrtle Beach, Bluffton, Somerville, or Mount Pleasant. PalmCasual.com. PalmCasual.com. Turn on the lights. It's Friday night. Chiefs Sports Network. Proudly covering high school athletics across the state of South Carolina with accurate, trusted analysis, in-depth interviews with coaches, media, and players, and quality information. Every Friday at 9 a.m., we're here for you. Proud partner of the South Carolina Athletic Coaches Association.
This is Four Quarter Friday. Matt Smith and Rob Williams are with you. And look, we have Corey Welch joining us from Diamond Prospects. I know that he took in a lot of games at the Forest Acres Classic. Rob, you were there. I was there for some of it. Corey blew me off. I kind of tried to talk with him, and he blew me off when I said hello. Man, it's good to see you again. And boy, as Rob was pointing out, you can dig into it a little bit more. The games were good. Not just the players, but the games were really competitive this week.
Yeah, they were. Me and myself and Austin and a few of the college coaches there and things. I mean, 13 of the 14 games were very competitive. We had a handful of walk-offs. In tournaments, you never see that, but it kind of goes to the caliber of teams that were in the event. You had eight really good teams, and all of them have a chance to play for a state championship.
Corey, it was impressive to me, like we just said, game in and game out. And I was at that 12-2 Dorman win as well. But the level of play, what does that say about South Carolina? Because we need to just take a moment, I think, and continue to brag on the level of play that we see across the state. Obviously, a couple teams from out of the state as well. But this is something that we want to highlight week after week, is the level of play that we see here. And we can make an argument and have long since made one. This is a baseball state, and I think that needs a little attention this morning.
Yeah, it does. And, I mean, I think it goes to how well the teams were prepared, you know, from the coaching staff. I mean, you had several coaches in that event that have won 600 games. You don't do that by mistake. You also coach for a long time, but you don't do that by mistake either. And, you know, I see it, or I'm fortunate enough to, you know, be familiar with players across the country. And, you know, per capita, South Carolina's right there with them. You know, you obviously have California, Texas, Florida. The size of those states really matter. But, you know, from a player's perspective, it's very talented.
Well, let's talk about 600 wins for a moment, because Hal Bagwell was there, and Indian Lamb went all the way down to the final inning of the championship game. Tell us a little bit about some of the players that they've got, because I think Indian Land, it's a little bit removed from what would be considered the more metropolitan areas. So yeah. Tell us about, you know, the players they get and the history there. How it is that they've been able to build such a big-time program under Hal Bagwell without being, you know, that close to a huge city or that big a school, but they've really created a special program there.
They have, and I think the first thing that comes to mind, you know, over the course of the week, and that was the first time I've gotten to see Indian Land this season as well, is how deep their pitching staff is. You know, they're six or seven deep on the mound. Joseph Rutledge, the third baseman, I've heard really good things about him, and man, he did not disappoint with the bat, and super athletic at third base as well. Liam Roberson, who's their number one, he actually was a part of the shutout on day one of Miller School, which is a really talented team. Him and a freshman, Aaron Eberhardt, combined to shut them out. And then they just continued to roll. And their one blip in the tournament in pool play was a huge comeback by Lexington. But, you know, the scary thing about Indian Land too, they're a state championship contender this year, but Coach Bagwell only has three seniors on that roster. So they're going to be around for a while. You know, it's a good mix. I know on day two as well, he threw some freshmen in there that I didn't know, and one of them smoked a ball off the fence, and, you know, it was good to see. And I think this is like his fourth year there, fourth or fifth. I could be wrong, but, you know, and thinking back, you guys know this. I mean, it wasn't that long ago. That was a 2A school, and now they're competing at the 5A level with everybody.
Corey, what can you say about – we had Coach Andy Hallett on here with us last week. What can you say about the hosts in AC Flora? You talk about Bagwell only having a couple of seniors there, three seniors on that Indianland team. On the flip side, Flora is led by seniors, and they kind of highlight that lineup a little bit. The thing that's jumped out to me was just their size. They were a little more imposing, I felt like, physically when you see them get off the bus, so to speak. Now, they didn't have to get off a bus this time because they were on their home field. But what stuck out to you about that squad?
I mean, just the depth in the lineup, one through nine. You know, a kid that in particular, you know, Roper Winsky's a name we've talked about. Charlie Scott's one of the more exciting players in the state. But Monty Lafitte, he's a guy at the bottom of that lineup that's really had a huge year. And the interesting thing about AC Flora is they do have a lot of seniors, but then, you know, they have a lot of sophomores too. They have an interesting mix of seniors and sophomores. We got a chance to see some of those young arms in big situations. So they're going to be really deep. And then the player in particular with Flora that really impressed me was their catcher, Dylan Hernandez. I got to see him down at the Classic, and he's a kid from an evaluation standpoint. Every time you see him, he continues to get better. And I know he had a bit. He threw out a runner on night one that was big, and had a couple of big hits. And then against the Miller School on Tuesday, I believe he just missed a home run just foul in a wild game. One of the many of the crazy games we had down there this past week.
All right, let's stay with catching for a moment. Corey Welch joining us from Diamond Prospect. And look, this is a full disclosure moment. I got to see Banks Alexander. Austin Alexander, who works with you at Diamond Prospects, that's his son playing at River Bluff only as a sophomore. But I thought he was really impressive. Austin was a pitcher, so what does he know? But Banks has apparently gotten some good coaching. He was really good. But River Bluff, to me, even though I saw them lose to Dorman on a walk-off, I thought they were so impressive. Tell me about everything, their coaching and the fact they bunted, I think, five or six times. They executed a squeeze play. I saw them run the bases hard. I thought they were really buttoned up defensively. That looked like a really well-coached group.
It was. And it goes back to, you know, the caliber of the event. You know, River Bluff went 1-2, but they lost two games on a walk-off. You know, I mean – You could make a case, a play here or there, and they're playing for the championship on Thursday. So, but, you know, they're really deep on the mound. Speaking of Banks, he hits at the top of the lineup. He's had a big year, five or six home runs. He just missed one off the fence down there, and he's one of the leaders on that team, even though he is a sophomore. He's a kid that I've gotten to see, you know, during the high school season as well on the summer circuit, and very high IQ. You know, he does a nice job behind the plate. He can play anywhere in the field. He can jump out in the outfield and, you know, can hit at the top of the River Bluff lineup. But you can also – he's the type of player that they could hit in the middle too. So the scary thing about him hitting leadoff is, you know, you could be up 1-0, one swing into the game.
Corey, I want to talk a little bit about Dorman as I sit in the upstate right now. I was sitting behind the Dorman broadcast in that 12-2 victory. And I heard one of their commentators say, you know, this is why we don't panic. We lost to Bowling Springs. We lost early here this week. But this team knows what to do to win. When you look at that team overall, what is it that stands out to you and shapes up their run as we get ready to look at – we're not that far away from the postseason here. And like you said, all of these teams are going to make a run. Dorman has been somebody who's impressed me a lot as they've kind of made their way through region play and then getting to see them. This week kind of confirmed what my suspicions were.
Yeah, and you know, this was a good week for Dorman. You know, they did have the slip up against Bowling Springs in region play, coming off a big weekend in region last week with Burns. Mm-hmm. They showed up there, probably had some confidence, and me and Coach Jolly talked about it. And, you know, you never want to lose. But at the same time, like on Monday morning, they got punched in the mouth 10-1. And at one point, and then came back, made that a competitive game at 10-6. So you're able to, you know, they've had so much success, and it's good to see how those guys respond. And it's such a deep lineup. You know, I had a chance to see them in Georgetown and got to revisit them again this week. And, I mean, 1-9, it's scary. I mean, Palmer Hornick's one of the best hitters in the state. The kid, Braylon Dean, he's an uncommitted senior. And, you know, he was really strong when I saw him early on. And he reaffirmed that, you know, this week. He can really hit. They're so deep on the mound. And, you know, Coach Jolly was able to find out a lot about his team during this week. Just as far as seeing some adversity, how they responded from it, because it's going to happen. You know, whenever you get in the playoffs, you know, they're going to run across an arm. Everybody is. And you know, you drop that game, you just can't panic once the postseason comes. So, you know, every team this past week got better by playing in the Forest Acres, for sure. I know every coach could tell you that.
How about that? All right, Corey, I want to talk about Diamond Prospects for a moment. And if you could, tell us about some of the players you've seen recently. I know since you were on the show with us, you've seen Carson Bowman throw for Southside Christian and for Christ Church. And just tell us who you've seen, perhaps players that, even if we don't know their names, maybe we know some of the schools that are looking at those players.
Yeah, so since I was last on, you know, I made another trip down to the beach. So I'll start there. I got to see a team that's really going to be really dangerous, I think, in the 5A Division I is Carolina Forest. Had a chance to see them play Socastee. Got a chance. It was Parker Ravis. He's senior committed to North Florida. And, you know, I tell people, you know, they have a couple of other arms, but there's one night a week where they're a top three team in the state and can beat anybody. He was really good, up to 91 on a cold. It was really cold that night. So got a chance to go down there and see St. James. That was the first time I've been to St. James. That's Shark Park is a beautiful place. So it was cool to see them in Myrtle Beach. And you brought up, get a chance to see Carson Bowman throw against he's at Southside Christian, but they did play Christ Church the night I was there. And, you know, Carson gets that was probably the most exciting game I've seen this year. I went extra innings. You got a chance to see Carson for a few innings. He was sharp up to 94 with a slider and a curveball. I mean, even though I was there, there was a ton of scouts there that are way more important than me. They got a chance to see some decisions about him. And then also in that game was Bo Lawrence. He is signed with Virginia, and he's a draft prospect as well. You know, 6'4", left-handed hitter, plays shortstop, can really run. I know he hit a big home run in the eighth inning of that game and stole a base. It was really good to see him. So, yeah, we've kind of been everywhere. Kind of hit that halfway point now. So I know this coming week we're gonna shoot out our midseason ranking. So I'm starting to work on that to kind of see where it shapes up going into the postseason, this final 3-week race to see who wins some region championships.
Yeah, and that will happen fast. And I was going to ask you to break that down for us, because you just were talking about Carolina Forest. And I made the note, I think it was last week or 2 weeks ago, I was talking about Carolina Forest had beaten North Myrtle Beach twice, which put North Myrtle Beach in a bad spot. And that was one of the teams coming into the season. People thought, well, you know, check mark, they're probably going to win that region. But Carolina Forest got them in an extra inning game. And so tell us about how that works. If you're not a region champion, how far back does that put you in terms of, you know, that extra round you have to play going on the road, the way it works in South Carolina?
Well, it's interesting there because, you know, when it comes to the playoff seeding, Carolina Forest is a Division I 5A team and North Myrtle Beach is a Division II. So it would knock them back a bit, you know, as far as, you know, possibly having to play that play-in game or play-in series and things like that. But, you know, with the RPI that goes on, there is so much that unfolds in the next 3 weeks. I know last year, you know, traditionally you can start to kind of match out, you know, who you may get and things like that. But, I mean, the RPI and how that – it shuffles so much night in and night out with those rankings. I've kind of learned after last year, you can't really predict the matchups. I wait till about a week before, where usually about now I've printed off brackets and have a really good idea of what's going on. So it's kind of what adds the excitement, you know, into the postseason and going into it.
Yeah, Corey, I think that's kind of what sticks out to me right at this point is, and Matt Smitty, you said it a minute ago, these 3 weeks are going to go so fast, but there's so much that unfolds in the next 3 weeks. Are there specific matchups that you're looking at that you feel like can really tip the scales? If maybe there are people listening or watching us this morning that are maybe their team's out of it, or they just love baseball and they want to get out there and watch some ball. Maybe they moved into the state or they've moved to a different part of the state. Is there anybody specifically that you're keeping your eyes on that's going to make a run or kind of solidify things as we get towards the postseason?
Yeah, I mean, even tonight there's a huge game here in the upstate with Fountain Inn and Wren. You know, Fountain Inn has been rolling. I think they won 18 straight and things like that, and they lost 1-0 to Wren on Wednesday. So that's kind of set up a de facto region championship. Tonight's Fountain Inn's final region game. Wren still has Westside. They would have to take care of business, but at the end of the day, they still control their own destiny. So that's kind of one tonight to kind of keep an eye on. In the coming weeks, you have Blythewood and Sumter. They're both unbeaten in their region. I believe they match up next week. They do a two-game match. And then going back to AC4, they're 6-0, and so is York. So that was one that I was kind of looking at as well. And then you have in 1A, the Latta-Lakeview matchup. That's coming up. They're both right at the top. And then also in 1A is Great Falls and Lamar. That one's all jumbled up because Louisville's in the mix as well. So, you know, there's a ton that can unfold. And the scary thing to me, we've been lucky with the weather, but, you know, I hate to see it, but whenever it becomes – you know, late in the season and you get a rain out and with pitch counts, like that really alters a lot of things. And, you know, in the next 3 weeks, we'll be able to sit back and take it in and see who makes a run.
All right. Well, we'll let you go, Corey. I know where are you going to be tonight? We want to track you. And by the way, you're a great follow. You and Austin are tremendous at Diamond Prospects on X. Definitely do that because they post videos too. So you can be sitting in your home and then you're catching high school action from all over the state. So if you would, where are you and Austin and anybody else going to be tonight?
I know tonight I'll be kind of close by. I'll be at Woodmont. They're hosting Greenwood. So it's two teams that are kind of fighting to get into that playoff spot. Two teams I haven't seen. So I'll knock that out tonight and then we'll see what next week unfolds with, you know, I kind of got to wait and see what the big matchups are. You know, this time of year, we've kind of checked the box to see everybody, and now we have the pleasure of going to go catching some big games.
And before we let you go, if you would, tell us, too, because I know you guys hold, like, camps and things like that with Diamond Prospects. So what happens in the summertime? So after all this is over and you're done watching the high school action, what do you guys do with Diamond Prospects?
Yeah, so, you know, later in the summer, we'll have our summer showcase, and it's kind of a kickoff right before the summer season starts for the players with their travel teams and things like that. And it's also a great opportunity for college coaches to lay eyes on them, and you know that gives us our last opportunity to see some guys, because once we get to August, that's our big event. That is the Palmetto Games, and that'll be back at Riley Park this year, and that's kind of our culmination event. We'll invite, you know, the top 150 players in the state. There'll be a ton of college coaches, pro scouts there. So if any baseball fan, you know, would like to see the best players, and it doesn't matter the class. We've had some eighth graders come out there and perform at a high level and things like that. So it's a really cool event. It gives us a great chance to showcase the talent in our state.
Man, that's incredible. I love that. So if you love baseball and you love our state, it all comes together with Diamond Prospects. Corey, thanks so much, man. We'll check in with you soon. We'll be in touch and we'll follow you on X for sure.
Awesome. Y'all have a great weekend.
All right, that is Corey Welch, Diamond Prospects. We've got to take a break, and when we come back, Rob, we're going to look at some of the players, some of the high school football players that have picked up recent offers. Again, some guys that you can go see within 30 minutes of your house. I'm telling you, wherever you live in this state, within 30 minutes of your house is a big-time football recruit. We'll detail some of the recent offers when we come back and maybe check in on Andrew Novak and Jacob Bridgman at Augusta as well. That is the Heartthrob. Rob Williams, I'm Matt Smith. This is Four Quarter Friday.
At Moultrie Insurance, our agents are working for you. Our commercial lines of coverage are well-sourced and intimately chosen. We offer commercial lines of coverage such as business owners, umbrella, property, auto, or general liability coverage, and evaluate every option to find what fits you best. Like a good offensive coordinator, we will draw up the plays, but only run with what you feel comfortable. Get in touch with our quarterback, Perry Orth, or our head coach, Frank, by visiting MoultrieIns.com. MoultrieIns.com.
Palm Casual Outdoor Patio Furniture proudly supports high school athletics across South Carolina. If it's time to make your outdoor space the best it can be, with lifetime warranties and guarantees, visit one of our Palm Casual stores in Myrtle Beach, Bluffton, Somerville, or Mount Pleasant. PalmCasual.com. PalmCasual.com. Turn on the lights. It's Friday night.
South Carolina's weekly high school show, Four Quarter Friday, part of the Chief Sports Network, and proudly presented by the South Carolina Athletic Coaches Association.
So I keep believing, no plans on leaving, even if we have a losing season. Pride is a capital letter on my baseball cap. It's what holds us together around this dot on the map. Now it's the color I bleed, and the stitches in my stitches in my stitches in my stitches in my pride is a capital letter on my baseball cap. It's what holds us together. It's the color I bleed, and the stitches in my shoes and my jacket matching pride.
This is Four Quarter Friday. Matt Smith, Rob Williams with you here. Our thanks again to Corey Welch, Diamond Prospects. Rob, listen, before we go over some of the recruits, some players in our state that picked up offers or are going on visits that I wanted to mention, anything else you want to say about the Forest Acres Classic? Because you did a lot of work in going over there and covering and spending time.
No, it was a lot of fun, and just a shout out to Andy Hallett and for the city or the town of Forest Acres for putting that on. I think there's a lot of people involved in kind of putting that together. It looks really good. On top of the fact that it is a great product and they have high quality teams that they've been able to include in that event, the branding looks great. The support from the community and the businesses around them is fantastic. They do a feature where it's free for Forest Acres residents. So it was great to kind of, it is really, really well covered as well. I think it has great exposure, and I was just proud for us to be able to be a part of that.
I like that Andy Hallett, he just doesn't back down. He says, well, who's the best teams we can get? Who are the best teams?
No doubt.
He's not trying to like set it up for his team to win.
No doubt.
He's trying to set it up for the best product where his team can go toe-to-toe, because he knows, as he told us when he joined us 2 weeks ago here on Four Quarter Friday, and you can find that on our YouTube stream. You go back and pick up some of these great interviews with the coaches. Again, all that courtesy of the South Carolina Athletic Coaches Association. He said, I want to see how our guys react when they play the best competition, because that's how you compete for state titles.
No doubt.
You don't want to soften it up.
Yeah, I thought it was great what he said about, you know, over 28 years, he's just kind of always tried to throw the toughest things, whether it's early, middle, or late in the season. He wants to see what his guys are made of. And I think that that's obviously paid off for him. 600 plus wins, 7 state championships, and they're right back in the thick of it again this year. So
that's right.
Can't really argue with him on that point.
No, you can't argue with that success. All right, let me throw out some names to you, Rob, about some intel we're picking up about some of our players that play in this state. Northwestern wide receiver Malik Ratliff, he visited South Carolina just yesterday, so the campus of South Carolina. He's a 6 foot, 175-pound wide receiver out of Northwestern. He actually transferred from South Point. So if anybody says, well, wait a minute, wasn't he at South Point? He transferred out of South Point, 9 touchdowns, over 20 yards per catch. So he's obviously a big play threat last year with South Point. But he's got an in-state offer to Coastal Carolina, and he's also been offered by North Carolina. It's Bill Belichick, App State, ECU, Marshall, Liberty. That's Jamie Chadwell and Charlotte. But that's a player right there in Ratliff. I know you and I are going to try to see him this year because we'll try to catch Northwestern game for sure, but doesn't have an offer yet with the Gamecocks, but he visited there yesterday.
My eye on it for sure, Smitty. I talked to Paige Wofford a couple weeks ago about this kid, and I think that he's going to do big things for Northwestern this year, and I'm just excited to see how that continues to progress. I think he's got a lot of skills, so I'll be interested to see if he picks up the offer, because the kid's a winner and he can play.
And look, they're going to invite a lot of these players into Columbia for the Spring Fest. And I don't have that exhaustive list, so I don't want to say anything, but just, and I anticipate a lot of these players, maybe unofficial, official, I don't know. I don't know what that line is right now anymore. You know, it used to be official, the school paid for it, but I don't know where that line exists right in this NIL era. Also, Michael Martin, running back out of Christchurch, he's coming up class of 2028. So he is a rising junior. He'll be playing his junior season this coming fall. He visited, how about this, visited Georgia and Kirby Smart yesterday. 5'9", 185. He's got an offer sheet, Duke, Syracuse, Wake Forest, App State, East Carolina. But I love his numbers. Over 1,400 yards last year, 30 touchdowns at Christchurch. 2 4 touchdown games. Eat your heart out, Al Bundy. So Michael Martin is definitely a name to watch for, and when you start visiting Georgia, he's young enough where big offers like that could come through.
And he's built really solid, Smitty, and I think that's the thing that sticks out to me when you look at a skill set and how a kid is going to develop. Obviously still a young kid, as you, like you said, just a rising junior. There's still some time for body development and growth, but already at 5'9", 185, it got a solid base to work with, and that's kind of what you look at when you're getting into the territory of a Georgia running back. Mm-hmm. Is how solid can that base be?
Yeah, think about that for a second. Just the history of Georgia running backs, how many NFL guys they've churned out dating back to Herschel Walker and before. But to be a Georgia running back is like that is absolutely the waiting area. That's the green room to the NFL. That is a big-time visit. Now, again, not an offer for Michael Martin, but big-time visit. When Kirby Smart says, yeah, come on to Georgia's campus and you're a running back. Also, class of 2027, Dutch Fork defensive tackle Jaden Wirth. You've probably seen him, Rob, 6'2", 275, got everything you could want. He's got an official visit to Virginia Tech coming up. He is, by the way, everybody said that put their eyes on him at the Under Armour camp said he dominated. He has long been considered a Clemson lean, and he says he's going back up there in late May for their big recruiting weekend. But that's a player that will be playing his senior season at Dutch Fort, trying to win another state championship, but yet another big-time visit coming up. He's got offers from seemingly everywhere, but everybody seems to believe he's going to end up at Clemson, but we'll see. We're going to watch him, but excited about what he's going to do on the football field for the Silver Foxes this fall.
I talked to two contacts last week who would also confirm that he's probably a lean. I feel like they were a little more on the fence, but they were definitely leaning towards Clemson for him for sure. And I'll get out here in the next few weeks, Smitty, as spring football in the state of South Carolina for the high school teams is going to get kicked off here in the month of May, and I'll get a chance to see him. I conveniently live pretty close to Dutch Fork, and that'll be one that I can jump over to just about anytime I want to.
Well, his worst teammate, so another guy you'll see, Corey Miller. Now, this is class of 2029, but come on. He's already got all – he just picked up an offer from Tennessee. So, I know – we all know what Dutch Fork has accomplished under Tom Knotts. We know that. Jackson Knotts, senior season coming up, quarterback for Dutch Fork. But Corey Miller, you know, 6 feet, 192, just picks up an offer from Tennessee. Ho-hum. Josh Heupel wants to come and get him. And you know how explosive he needs his offense to be. So he's impressed. Miller's just got to be an impressive player. Offers include Georgia, Auburn, Arkansas, Miami, Georgia Tech, Penn State, North Carolina, and the Gamecocks. So the Gamecocks are in on Corey Miller. He's got plenty of time to make his decision. But, Rob, I mean, think about that connection. Jackson Knotts to Corey Miller. Obviously, Knotts is going to be playing his senior season. Miller's only going to be, what, a sophomore?
Mm-hmm.
Coming. I mean, yeah, incredible.
I saw some 2030 visitors this past week, and it's just it blows my mind every time I see another year pop up. But yeah, Corey Miller is a 2029 prospect, and so we have a couple of years again to follow that recruitment, to watch this kid develop, but already garnering major attention just based on kind of the things that you can measure with a kid like that, and that makes the projection a little bit easier.
Well, we'll wrap up here because we want to turn you over to Inside the Gamecocks. But I can tell you, unfortunately, Andrew Novak is likely going to miss the cut from Academic Magnet. Novak is, I think, plus +7 now. Tough place to play. And not putting up numbers here. In the second round here at Augusta. But I can tell you, and Dustin Johnson will go off later today, 1 o'clock, but Jacob Bridgman from Chapman High School, who you pointed out, Rob, was playing well, won the Genesis Cup. Jacob Bridgman, he bogeyed coming out on number one, but then he turned around and birdied the par 5 second. He's now on number three, and he currently sits at 1 under, which is well inside the cut line right now.
You got it, Smitty. And I appreciate the update. And it is a great day to be alive. Travis Tritt taking us out of here. I'm looking at the sunshine outside the window. We'll get the Masters on. Going to head over to ITG. And it's been a great day here on Four Quarter Friday with you once again.
Absolutely. Inside the Gamecocks is next. You've been watching Four Quarter Friday. Follow us on X at Four Quarter SC. We'll get you linked up to everything we do here with Inside the Gamecocks and the Chief Sports Network.